We have a lot to pray about today. It's good. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox, nor his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, when thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seeketh after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brother's, which he hath lost, and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way in any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting on the young, or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go, and take the young with thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. When thou buildest a new house, when thou shalt make a battlement, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown, and the fruit of thy vineyard, be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. If any man take a wife, and go in unto her, and hate her, and give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid, then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones, that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city, and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones, that they die, the damsel, because she cried not being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. so thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so in this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. As some of you know, I spend a little bit of time, and every now and then I'll even post to this board called the Puritan Board. And we have some good friends out there. Most of you know Chris Coldwell. He's there, and Reverend Lane Keister is a good guy, and Dr. R. Scott Clark of Westminster Seminary, California, he's there, and others. So every now and then there's a nugget or two. There's a thread on there right now. I haven't read it. I haven't had time, but it's called Explicit Passages in the Bible. Well, this is one of those. This is one of those, and while it may be a little bit uncomfortable in mixed company, of course we try to be as discreet as possible when talking about such matters. So when we get to that section, we will. Now let's start out at the front here. The first section, I've called it in my notes, Thy Brother's Property. Thy Brother's Property. Of course, what it's talking about here is any livestock of your brother's that gets out and you see it wandering around. What are you to do? What shall you do in that case? Here's what you'll not do. You'll not just pretend like you didn't see it. Because you love your brother, and because you respect his property, and you love him and desire to do what you can for him, you'll gather up his livestock that has gone astray and keep it in your own stalls or barns or corrals or whatever until such time as you find him and are able to get it returned to him. Well, this is just simply respecting the property rights of your neighbors, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. And he doesn't restrict it to livestock. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, with his raiment, and with any lost thing of thy brother. So, you remember the old song, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Yeah, that's wicked. That's wicked. That is anti-biblical. If you want to do this according to the Bible, it's finders, returners. Right? Finders, returners. You're walking down the street, or you're here in church one day and you find a $20 bill on the ground. What do you do? I found a 20. Who'll claim it? Now be careful. Who claims it? Be careful. Because the Lord knows if it's your 20 or not. All right, so then proper distinctions in verses 5 through 12. Thy brother's property, 1 through 4, 5 through 12, proper distinctions. First of all, we are to distinguish women from men. Pretty clear. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so, listen, are abomination unto the Lord thy God. The Lord desires that there will be a distinction between the sexes, between males and females. And we might also say that it is not limited solely to clothing. It pertains to the way you wear your hair. It pertains to your manner. There are all kinds of things that this pertains to. So understand that males are males and females are females, and it is a sign of judgment on our society when we blur those distinctions. And yes, those distinctions are being blurred today. Yes, they are. Make no mistake about it. The media is constantly bombarding you, blurring the distinctions between males and females. That is wickedness, and it is a sign of judgment. People say, when will God judge America? It's already here. It's being prosecuted as we speak. When women rule over us and children are our governors, when God, through the action of the climate, blows on the southern part of our country and decimates our economy for 6 months in the snap of His fingers, when our rulers call it El Nino instead of the judgment of God. Listen, don't make any mistake about it. We're not waiting for judgment, we're under judgment. And it will only get worse unless our country, our society, repents of its evil. Can't say it any clearer than that. Now, when it says that a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall man put on a woman's garment. You know how I feel about that when it comes to pants. And I don't understand how that some from this passage have said, well, all pants are man pants. That's simply not true. There are some pants that are girly pants. Guys, you can't wear those. Okay? And women, you can't wear man's pants. Don't do it. But certainly wear things that are becoming of your gender. Certainly wear those kinds of things. Enough said. Craziness out there. All right, so then we are to distinguish our use of the earth from the heathen. We will not be rapacious in our gathering of food or in any other way. We are not to be rapacious. Rapacious. Destructive. Let me tell you a little story. We have, in my other industry, in my electrical contracting industry, we have certain tests that we do. There are some tests that we do on pieces of equipment. Sometimes we test wires. There are all kinds of tests that are available to us. And the specifications that are written before the job begins spell out for us what kind of tests we are to do. There is a particular test that is seldom done, but it is done occasionally, and it's a particular, let's say it's a particular length of wire. Let's say 100 feet of wire. And it'll be strung across a warehouse, and a current will be run through that wire and a voltage will be run through that wire in a particular way so that we will test that wire until it fails. It's called a destructive test. And that does happen from time to time. We do that just to see what it can handle. What can you do with that wire after you're done with testing it? Nothing. It's junk with a capital J. You throw it away. But it served its purpose. It's a destructive test. Then we have other tests where we will test something not to failure, but you know, up to a particular prescribed limit. And then after it passes that test, we'll put it into service so that that material is preserved. Okay, now, if you take that principle and you apply it here to what Moses tells them about the eggs and the young, or the dam and the eggs. Dam, children, that simply means the mother female. Mother female. As a matter of fact, some of you have used that word. You don't realize it, but you have. When you've turned to a lady you probably didn't know, and you've said, madam. You know what the word madam means? It's a contraction, my dam. My mother. That is actually what you're saying. It's a term of endearing respect. So yeah, you've used that word before. At least you've heard it. You've heard it used when someone will say, madam. Okay? So, here we are then. We are not to be destructive in what we do to the earth. We are not to be rapacious, destructive. What we do is to provide for a good stewardship, not a destructive stewardship. Now this distinguishes us from the heathen. For those of you that have studied American history at all, you know that when the westward settlers came across, those Christians who had an eye for just this kind of preservation and conservation, you know that the quote-unquote noble savages that they found, what they did was they lived in a particular area until they had denuded it of game, denuded it of plants, fouled it with their excrement and so had to move on. We are different. We are not rapacious and destructive. We are good stewards of what God has given us. All right, next. This, again, we're under proper distinctions. We distinguish ourselves in our respect for human life. We build parapets to our roofs. You know what a parapet is, children? If you go up on the roof of any building here in Texas, I can't think of one that doesn't have it. I can think of a couple old buildings. What you'll find is on the top of a building, you'll have the roof, and then the roof doesn't just come over and go straight over. There's this wall that comes up about 3 feet, and it goes all the way around the roof. So you'll have a flat roof or maybe a gently sloping roof. But all roofs that are built today as part of our building codes, and I think it's a great idea because it's biblical, they have a parapet to keep people from getting up there and falling off. I remember talking to a gentleman that I used to work for, and he was a ship's electrician, and he was on board an aircraft carrier. And he said, the scariest thing you could do, one of the scariest things you will ever do, he said, is to walk out onto the deck of an aircraft carrier at night. Because you understand that for strategic concerns, they have what they call light traps. When you open a door, you don't go out from a door. You go into a corridor where you have to open 2 or 3 doors to get out on deck. Because if you opened a door and the light shone, you would give away your position at night. And you don't ever want to do that. So they had light traps. So you'd go through these 2 or 3 curves and elbows, and then you'd go through the final bulkhead through that portal to get you out on deck. Well, it's not like around here where you have street lights. On a moonless night, it's pitch black out there. And you're on a deck that's, you know, kind of moving like this. And he said you literally could not see your hand in front of your face. Literally. So he said what they would do is they would get out and they'd get up against the wall and they'd kind of move with the wall and they'd find the next place they were to go in and they'd go in there. So it was very, very, very scary. Okay, so we have respect for human life. We build parapets. All right, so then we are singular and distinct. The next distinction. We are singular and distinct. That is, we sow our vineyards with one kind of seed. We yoke similar animals. We wear clothing that is of a single construction. Now, this doesn't mean we do this today. This was a part of the Old Covenant pedagogy, the teaching of the Old Covenant, to teach the people that they were a separate and distinct people. And they weren't, as they were not to mingle threads in their garments, they weren't to be mingled with the nations. As they weren't to mingle an ass and an ox in a yoke to plow the field, so they were not to be mingled with the nations. As they were not to scatter mingled seed in their field, so they, as the field of God, were not to be mingled with the heathen. Well, of course, this has great application for us, that we are not to be mingled with heathenish ideas, heathenish thought forms, and so on. And then finally, we decorate our clothing in a way that is distinctive to our separateness. They were to make the fringes, the tassels on the ends of their garments that were to be Israelitish only. They were to distinguish them from all of the other people upon the face of the earth. They would have that ribbon of blue in their garments. And so on. So they had distinctive dress. Do we have distinctive dress today? Not exactly. But we need to be careful there. Because there is a worldly dress. And there is a godly dress, right? Okay. All right, so then we move on to this last portion where we talk about the various situations of adultery and fornication. The first is the supposition of uncleanness in the wife. The supposition of uncleanness. Now, I think that there's something else going on here. If you remember, he says in verse 13, if any man hate a wife and go in unto her and hate her, and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her. I think there's something else going on there. I don't think it's just simply he didn't find her a maid, a virgin. I think what is saying is he's looking for an occasion. I think that's what Moses is trying to say here. And so there is a procedure to follow. And that procedure, commentators are sorely divided as to what exactly that means. Some say, you know, it's the wedding sheet bed night. It's the wedding night bed sheets, that they will have evidence of her virginity on them, and that's the cloth that is spread before the elders. It doesn't really matter to us, except to say this, remember this, that the sin of fornication and the accusation of the sin of fornication both are highly displeasurable to God. That fornication was punishable in the Old Covenant by what? Death. Stoning. And that bringing an accusation of fornication was also punishable by death. The guy wasn't sentenced to death, but he had to pay, and then he could not put the maid away all the days of his life. He must, you know, in other words, he must provide her a living. Now, you have to understand, marriage in the Old Covenant is not necessarily, or even in the New Testament, it's not necessarily, I mean, it involves, you know, love between man and woman, mutual help and comfort and all of that. But also, there's a high legal dimension to marriage that we don't often think about, because we don't think that way. But remember that a woman, you know, if she was put out of her husband's house, she basically had no living. She had to go back home to Papa. That was really all she had going for her. It was very rare that you had women like Lydia that were, you know, independently, or financially independent, if you will. So, when it says that he may not put her away all the days of his life, in other words, you know, she's got a ticket. She's going to be carried. She's going to be provided for all of her life. She has nothing to worry about from thenceforward. Okay, so then we move on down to verse 22. Adultery is punishable by death. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. Do you get the impression? Do you get the feeling here that God is highly displeased with the sin of fornication and the sin of adultery? You ought to, because He is. In the next portion, 23 and 24, illicit relations with a betrothed woman is punishable by death. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed to an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, they shall both be stoned. And then in the next portion, if it's out in the country, he'll be stoned and she won't, because the supposition is that she cried out and there was none to save her. But if she's in the city and she didn't cry out, then she's complicit, and so they will both die. Well, that's the distinction between those two. All right, and then verses 28 and 29. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin which is not betrothed, another condition, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, and he may not put her away all his days. So there is then the principle that if it's an unbetrothed woman, if she's not attached, that is a de facto marriage at that point. And so he must receive her to his wife, and he may never put her away. Again, she will be cared for all her life, because he humbled her. So do you get the feeling here that the seventh commandment, that God takes it very seriously? Yeah. Yeah, you should, because God does take it very seriously. As a matter of fact, that will be part of what we talk about in this afternoon's sermon. So then let's close up the reading in Deuteronomy 22, and let's stand and continue praising God by the singing of psalms.